Good morning, everybody. Today is the 25th of July. You're listening to Engaging Walk Podcast. My name is Drake. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a podcast for married couples, for dating, love, relationships, etc. And if you're a listener, thank you guys again for tuning in. So today's topic is going to be our first or second topic. The first was an introduction into the five C's of connection. And today we're going to be covering that first of the five C's, which is compatibility. So normally I'm accompanied by my lovely wife, Ruby, but things are a little bit crazy at home with the new baby. And, you know, I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to her having coming back to the podcast. Pretty soon we're going to get into a new groove of the schedule and coming forward and being able to do the podcast together is difficult with a newborn at home. But pretty soon we'll be making that adjustment for you guys so that we can have those relationships, have that conversation from the perspective of a relationship. So without further ado, we'll be getting into today's content and keep that conversation going. So it's been a while since we've been together, and some of our listeners may know, you know, all these things that we talk about on the Engaging Walk. And the whole premise of Engaging Walk is this idea of going out and talking to your partner, whether it be a change of scenery or a vacation or just going out around the block together and having that time together to connect, to decompress and talk about meaningful topics within your relationship, within your sphere of your, you know, of your life, and having that time to have conversations that are just beyond the mundane, beyond the everyday. Although those things are very important, things like, hey, how, you know, what are we going to do for, you know, the weekly schedule, groceries, that upcoming vacation, all those things are really important. But we also want to take time in our relationship to go deeper into the connection, go deeper and talk about meaningful topics. And today we're going to be talking about compatibility. So this might be a topic also that would bring people into the fold that are looking to get into a relationship. You know, so you're doing more research. Some people like to do a lot of research about relationships now before they get into them, which is a really great skill, because you can learn about these topics from other people's experiences. Of course, there might not be like a complete substitution other than from, you know, engaging in a relationship yourself. But you can still learn a lot. So whether you're navigating the dating scene, engaged or happily married, this podcast emphasizes the importance of building and maintaining connections. So let's take that time together. All right. The way that I tried to break this down is the five areas. So within the five, we have another five. It's five squared. We got the five areas of compatibility. First one is going to be shared values. Second one is going to be communication style. Third one is going to be lifestyle preferences. Four is going to be financial alignment. And then five is going to be emotional support. So we're going to dive more deeply into those topics. Now, let's talk a little bit about like why compatibility is important just in general. It might seem like prima facie, like, okay, well, compatibility is important because we need to be compatible, right? But what is compatibility? The reason why we break it down to those five topics is because, you know, let's notice some of the ones that were not in there. Attractiveness. Not to say that that's not important. We'll get more into that in chemistry, which will be next week's topic. But within that is not attractiveness, which within that is not even similar interests. And favorite movies or music, none of those things are in there. And the reason why those aren't in there is because they're not really all that important. The things that are important are shared value. And not to say that there aren't things that are important that we didn't include. There certainly are, but these are without a doubt extremely important areas in which that we have to look through in order to ensure that the person that we're engaging in or attempting to engage into a relationship with is compatible in these terms, because people might change a little bit over time, but they don't really change a lot. So if this person's values are not where your values are and you think like, oh, I'm going to change them over time, one, that's manipulative. Manipulative. We shouldn't be doing that. And then two, it's just not going to happen. People don't change that much. They might, but the probability is very low. All right, so let's continue on with the five areas of compatibility. So the first one, shared values. Compatibility is high when a couple finds alignment on fundamental values such as honesty, integrity, life goals, religion, family, career, and others. And some of these values are things that we would say are essential to compatibility. For example, honesty, integrity. Let's take those two because they're very similar. If we have a relationship with somebody and we can't take their word for things that, maybe we had bad experiences with them in the past, or maybe we've observed certain scenarios in which they didn't keep their word, or they were dishonest with family members or dishonest with coworkers. Or let's say you come home and, your spouse is like, hey, I got this couch from work. Isn't it great? And you're like, yeah, it's an amazing couch. Did they just give it to you? No. Did you win it in a sweepstakes or something? Or like a raffle? No. How did you get it? Well, I stole it. You'd be like, oh, wow, you stole a couch. Like, you put your... Let's say they worked at a place where they got the couch, and people are now going to know, or maybe they might know that they stole that this person that you're married to stole a couch, and you're like, okay, well, what else are they doing? They might be, if they're okay with just stealing a couch, how do they even do that? Like, what level of preparation did they go through to steal this couch? Like, did they have other people involved? Like, your mind just starts going to these new areas of questions of questioning the person's integrity. And though, if you have a similar level, you're like, well, wow, that's awesome, man. Thank you for stealing that couch. Like, we're sticking it to the man. That's no, in my opinion, that's no way to live. I'm not trying to judge people, but, though, if you can't trust somebody in terms of, like, not stealing things from work, or... And it doesn't even have to be from work, or like in the public, like just like out in public, stealing things or engaging in that type of behavior, then at the very least, you're going to lose respect for them. You're going to think of them as like, well, this person doesn't really have a lot of integrity. This person, what's to stop them from cheating on me? What's to stop them from cheating me? Like, should I go through my valuables and make sure that, like, my grandma's ring is still there, that kind of thing. Like, those are thoughts that you want to have about someone that you're dedicating your life to. And so honesty, integrity in that sense are very important. And then not just in one facet of life, but like I was saying, in all facets of life. That if, but anyways, moving on. So life goals and religion. So we'll kind of like tie these two in together because they also are very similar. And religion is a very high indicator of divorce, that people who have different faith are a certain percentage. I think it's maybe even like twice as likely to divorce than people who don't share a religion. And that makes sense because within the religion, you have shared values and you have shared beliefs and aspects of faith and aspects of integrity, right? Because a person that's like, hey, I'm not going to, like, let's say Christians, for example, they're like, hey, I'm not going to engage in that kind of behavior of theft and lying and adultery because God said, don't do it. And I serve a higher purpose. Just that aspect of like serving a higher purpose of going to appealing to a greater aspect of life than other than just yourself is a common value that another person would share and another person would really pay attention to. And you can use that aspect of like a shared belief system to not just grow in life together, but also connect. So that's why shared religion is very important. And that also ties into life goals, because your life goals, for a lot of people that are religious, are tied to their religion. Like, I want to recruit or evangelize more people to the to my faith. That is a life goal of mine. My life goal is to serve the Lord, to do all those kinds of things that mean a lot to me. So those two things can go very hand in hand, life goals and religion. Sometimes our life goals can be different as well. Like we have life goals of, you know, retiring, having children, but that ties also with family. So these aspects of like who we are, what we want out of life, the core aspects of who we are, not just the superficial like looks or things like that, are going to be essential in being able to establish compatibility. And then also we talked about family a little bit briefly, but I think that's pretty self-sufficient, that like a very make or break kind of aspect of a relationship can be, do you have similar ideas of family in terms of not just in terms of like children, like, oh, do we want children, but also how we treat in-laws, how we treat extended family, etc. Others can also be important. So if you guys do have some others that I missed that you think that are integral into being able to establish compatibility, please let us know. And okay, so we got also communication style. So communication style is, let me read a little bit more about what I have written down, and then I'm going to talk about it. So what I have written down here is that couples tend to be more compatible when they understand and appreciate each other's communication styles and are able to communicate effectively and respectfully. There's a lot of truth to that, especially in the aspect of being able to understand and appreciate each other. So let's just leave the other that aspect of in regards to communication out. Just being able to understand and appreciate. Sometimes that can be done without verbal communication. Sometimes that can be done with leaving flowers, or, you know, bringing coffee home, or having coffee ready in the morning, or breakfast, or any one of those things that we extend understanding and appreciation through action, not just in terms of communication. So, and then also we want to be able to do that in communication style, because a lot of hurt can happen in how we choose to communicate with each other, that you might not think like, okay, well, I communicated in a way that was, you know, blunt or to the point, wherein your partner took it, you know, hurtfully, like, oh, like I feel disrespected, or I feel hurt. I feel like unappreciated, misunderstood by the way that the conversation was going. Like, those things can happen. And being able to establish a communication style, reestablish and adapt to the communication style after things change and after you go through new periods of the relationship is going to be very important for couples at all stages. So, and then also that we communicate effectively and respectfully. So let's talk a little bit about that effectively part. So being able to communicate is not just like being able to say what's on your mind, but also being able to listen effectively. And being able to repeat back like what you heard or what you understood from what your partner was saying. I work at an airfield, and we have to drive out onto the runway. And nothing happens without communication on the airfield. There is a tower, and like the air traffic control tower controls every aspect of who's on that airfield, when, where, why, and where they're going, what route, everything. Everything is communicated and everything is controlled by a central point. And part of the way that we communicate there is like, hey, this is who I am. I'm about to go over here and I'm going to go via this route. And I'm going to stop here at this point where it's a stop point. At that point, I'm going to wait for you to give me, I'm going to communicate again with you. And then the tower will respond, okay, hey, you're going to go that way. Thanks for letting me know. Essentially, you know, in much more technical terms, but, you know, in a layman's kind of way, that's what's being communicated. And then when we get there, we check in again and we say, hey, this is where I'm at. Am I okay to go? I don't want to get hit by a plane, right? And then the air traffic control control tower will say, yes, you're free, you're okay to go. And then you repeat that back. So there is very little room for miscommunication. And sometimes we have to treat that our spouses and our loved ones in that way when there is miscommunication or when tempers arise or like when, you know, we're having a disagreement that we might have to slow it down, act like we're on a runway, act like we're in the airfield and check in with each, with each word, with each footing to make sure that we are on the same page. Because a lot of that hurt just comes from not being understood. And that's effective communication. Now, respectful communication can be, you can be effective in what you're saying, but disrespectful in how it's delivered. And this can go for both ways, for men and for women. We can say, men can say to their spouse something that is said in a way that doesn't show appreciation for the things that our wives do. And vice versa, women can say things to men that may come across as like emasculating or, you know, like nagging. And we have to be careful of that. We have to show appreciation. We have to show respect and an effective and respectful tone when we're trying to communicate with our spouse, because at the end of the day, we're a team. And regardless of the team setting, you're not going to have an effective team if people are feeling disrespected, if people feel like they're not appreciated. So all those things tie hand in hand. Okay, next one is going to be lifestyle preferences. So compatibility is also contingent on how a couple's on a couple's daily routines, interests, lifestyles. So interests do pop up. They pop up here, but it's not like it's not a main aspect of lifestyle preferences. I would argue that the daily routines and is a much greater component of your lifestyle preference than interests. That you can develop new interests together. That you can develop interests that neither of you had in your single life, but now together, for example, you might try ballroom dancing or tango or some other form of dancing that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. And now this is a new fun couples thing that you do. And but the main thing is that daily routines. And my wife was so amazing at this in the very beginning of our marriage, of like emphasizing daily routines, emphasizing our weekly schedule and monthly schedules and mapping out things that are going to happen throughout the year. And especially on the reflection time, you can see, at least I could see, just how productive and effective that we can be. It may not always feel like that on the day to day, but when we take that time to look back and appreciate the things that happened throughout that month, that we always, I feel at least, always inevitably feel proud and accomplished of all the things that we've had to endure and all the things that we've come across and accomplished together. Okay, so next one is going to be financial alignment. Couples find compatibility when their behavior towards money, budgeting, and financial goals are in sync. So this can actually be pretty difficult in today's world, because with high interest, with all the crazy things that are happening in the economy, so many people not being able to find meaningful work, so many people not being able to find work that like can sustain a family. It's a big struggle for a lot of people. But I would say that financial decisions become very, very important leading up to marriage, but then also take a new and immense step when you become married and your finances are pulled together. So actually I'll kind of like back up and talk about that a little bit. Because financial alignment, the way that I have it written, has it like pre-understood, or like a prerequisite would be that you, the husband and the spouse and the wife rather, have shared finances. In other words, that there is no husband's checking account, wife's checking account, etc. there is husbands and wives, the husband and the wife's shared accounts. And, you know, that might take like a 6 months or 8 months or whatever, a couple of weeks, however long it takes to integrate all of your finances together once you become married. But I believe that is like the only way that you can do it. I see a lot of people talk online about, like, you know, even a friend of mine from work, he was talking to me just the other day about like how he's like, oh yeah, you know, me and the wife are going up to, you know, this area, and we rented an Airbnb. And I, you know, I'm an inquisitive person. I like asking like more detailed questions. I was like, okay, cool. Like where, like what kind of place is it? You know, because I like looking on Airbnb and seeing like, you know, what kind of place I can afford, like, for a family vacation, you know? And then my wife and I always have certain criteria of a place that we're looking for. And like, we want a place that has a pool, for example, or like a hot tub, or, you know, beachfront, those types of aspects. So I was just asking him more questions, and he was like, oh, I don't really know about the cost because my wife paid for it. And I was like, well, maybe his wife paid for it. And then like, you know, he just didn't look at the bill. And I was like, well, how much? And I wasn't trying to pry, but I was just trying to, you know, just trying to ask. I was like, oh, do you guys have like separate finance or something? And he was like, oh yeah, my wife, she makes like, you know, 10 times my paycheck. He was like, so, you know, she paid for everything. I don't really know how much she paid. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, like, I'm glad that my wife and I have everything shared, because like, it just makes things easier. It makes things like we're one, you know? And yeah, it just makes things easier. Like it makes things less complicated when there's like husbands, you know, oh, my husband paid for everything. Like, how much was it? Oh, I don't know. He paid for it. I don't even have a way of like knowing how much he paid for it, like how much it was. Well, it seems like, you know, relevant information for what you'd want if you both have a house together and you both have, you know, children together. That it seems like all those things would need to be tied in together, is my opinion. But at the very least, you want to have that discussion of financial alignment before you even get into things like behavior towards money, budgeting, and financial goals. Is like, hey, how are we going to set up our accounts? Are we going to share all of our accounts? Are we going to have some separate and then some shared? You definitely want to have that conversation. And then you also want to have an idea about like behavior towards money. I'd say that like behavior towards money changes significantly when you become married, especially if your finances are tied, because you have to rely on each other a lot more, you know, and you have to rely on, especially when children come into the play, and you know, mom can't work for X amount of months because, you know, like the baby relies on the mom so much, and the mom in turn relies on the husband, and she needs to know that, like, hey, if they need to go to the store and get diapers, that, you know, that there's money in the bank for that. If they need to go and get a doctor to go take care of the baby, you know, for some kind of illness, or God forbid, or some kind of like situation, that there's money for that available. And the mom can't do all that on her own, and the husband can't do all that on his own. So that's why all those things come together and are super important in terms of like being able to establish money goals, establish financial goals, especially in terms of like investments. Okay, like X amount of our income is going to go towards investments, X amount of our income is going to go towards gold, X amount of our income is going to go towards savings, etc. And then lastly, we've got emotional support. So none of these other aspects mean anything if we don't have emotional support. And emotional support, as I have it written here, is compatibility is needed when couples can provide emotional support and understanding with one another to create a secure and comforting environment in the relationship. So we have to ask ourselves questions like, how do we support our partner when they're in a crisis? And then how can our partner rely on us when they are in need? And those situations happen. So crisis events are certainly going to happen in our lives, especially when we are together as a couple, and those situations we're going to rely and should rely on our partners for emotional support when we're going through it. Another example, another immense example is, again, having children. That when the wife is going through the pregnancy and then going through childbirth, she is going to need not just emotional, not just financial support, not just the support of a home and all those kind of like necessities, but she's also going to need that emotional support from the husband in order to get through it. And likewise for the husband, he's going to need his wife's emotional support when he gets laid off or when he has trouble at work or things happening with the children and things happening with friends, deaths in the family, all these things that we go through in our mortal existence, we go through with our spouse and our loved one and our loved ones. And, but particularly with our spouse, because like we're supposed to be designed to be like so close and connected. And that's what the whole point of this is that we turn to our spouse during that time because they're not just this legal, we're not just like in legal matrimony. We are in holy matrimony. We are in a oneness, and that oneness reflects in our finances. That oneness reflects in our schedule. That oneness reflects in all these things that we've talked about in terms of compatibility, you know. But very important that it also comes up in our need for emotional support. That if we go to alcohol for emotional support, or if we go to a coworker or other things, then that detracts from the relationship. That creates disconnect. You know, that's not to say that we don't have friends that we confide in. That's not to say that we don't have mentors and people that we respect. But our spouse should also be an integral part of that, because that is a great source of connection and a great source of like understanding. So our spouse can understand like, hey, what we're going through. And maybe they don't provide insight or advice, but they just provide that acknowledgement that we might need. Yeah, so we have that shared values also. And then so all those things work together. We have that emotional support in our values, our communication, our lifestyle, and then also our finance. So just to reflect, you know, the five areas of compatibility were values, communication style, lifestyle preferences, financial alignment, and emotional support. And we're going to continue on with this series for the five C's. And the next one, as I mentioned earlier in this conversation, is going to be chemistry. So attractiveness was completely left out in this episode, but it's not unimportant, and we're going to talk about that more next week. Hopefully Ruby will be able to join us, but like I said, the schedule is a little bit unpredictable with the baby. The baby takes and requires so much attention, which we love her and all that. It's amazing, but you can't unless you've had a child, you can't really appreciate just how much the baby really relies on mom during this, like those early formative months for emotional support. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and making our podcast a part of your day. And we hope that you can take our engaging walk and make it your own. Like I said, stay tuned for next week's episode as we discuss the second C, which is going to be chemistry. And then don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date. My name is Drake, and hopefully Ruby will be with us next week. And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we love you. We're happy. Oh, one last thing is we're so happy to see all these new people popping up from all over the world. We got people from Western Europe, from Australia, outside of the continental U.S. We got people from Hawaii, like I said, all over Western Europe, South America, Mexico. And it's amazing to see so many new people popping in and checking out the podcast. I hope that some of you guys out there are recommending these folks and saying, hey, check out this podcast. It's, you know, or, hey, I heard you and the wife were thinking about like how to like a fun activity or a fun podcasts that you can listen to, this one is one that you can definitely check out. If that's you guys, I really appreciate it. And I know Ruby really appreciates it as well. We definitely want the podcast to grow. And we want to grow with you guys in delivering great content that means something to somebody and that means something to a lot of people out there and that can help relationships grow and maintain that connectedness that will foster wonderful families and wonderful relationships. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.